up a share, you can work up a witness, which I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being, you know, knowing what you're going to say and having a class on witnessing, but the best witnessing is out of the overflow of your life, of living and practicing the truth of God's Word. And we're in the greatest business in the world. I ought to get an amen right there, you know. I mean, you know, when the president the other day said churches are essential, he didn't inform me on anything. I've known that. I appreciate him saying that. I thank the president that would say that and take a stand like that. But I knew long ago that churches are essential. If it wasn't for the church, I probably wouldn't be saved today. I mean, the church. Thank God for Jesus, but Jesus started the church, and praise the Lord for the church. So we're in the greatest work of all time, and the church's work is the Lord's work. And so to work, we have that privilege to work with the Lord and for the Lord. And Paul is encouraging the Thessalonian believers here to work together for the advancement of the cause of Christ. So the church at Thessalonica, of course, was under persecution. And that's not always a bad thing. Pressure upon us can draw us together. Adversity has a way of bringing out the best in us. It can bring out the worst in us, too. But you've seen the illustration, maybe, about the tea bag. You know, the tea bag, when you drop it in hot water, what's inside is going to come out. And when we are dropped in hot water, so to speak, what's inside of us is going to come out. And so these people, Paul had confidence in the Lord for them, and he gives them some facts about working together for the kingdom. The first thing he talks about is the help of God's servant. The help of God's servants, verses 1 and 2. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. He desired prayer concerning the advancement of the word. The advancement of the word. Paul uses the word finally. What he's doing there is he's calling attention to the last portion of the letter. And what he's going to teach them from then on, of course the whole letter is very important, but he's calling their attention to this. And he reminds them of who they are. He did remind them of who they are. Last week we talked about that. He established their position again in Christ. And now he talks to them about what they are to do because of who they are. Paul does that throughout his letters. He talks about doctrine and then duty. We do what we do because we are who we are. And we need to know who we are in Christ. That's very important. He calls them brethren, which is something he calls them throughout the letters of both the Thessalonian letters, brethren and co-laborers for the cause of Christ. And then he had laid the example for them by praying for them. Many times in these two letters we've already seen him say, I'm praying for you for this, I'm praying for you for this. Now he says he needs prayer. And I wrote out in my Bible a little note, humility. Here's a man that God used to write half the New Testament, reach all the known world at that time, and he asked for prayer. And that just tells me that we never get beyond the need for prayer. Any of us, no matter who we are, we never get beyond the need for prayer. And one huge way we help in the work of the Lord is by praying for those who are preaching the Word of God. You know, we say that one of our mottos here at Bible Fellowship is preaching the Word, reaching the world. That can't be done without prayer. That can't be done without much prayer. So in this verse, you see Paul, Silas, Timothy, they're not above prayer. They're requesting prayer. And he's asking for prayer. Continual, it's in the continual sense. In other words, the tense is, so it's to be continuous. We're to pray for those who labor in the Word continually. And when we pray for one another, it also helps us. You realize that you're helped when you pray for someone else? You know, we shouldn't always just pray for ourselves. It's okay to ask for, you know, our needs and what we have need of. That's okay. God allows that. But we ought to remember to pray for those who are preaching the Word of God. And when we do that, we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The older I get, the more I need to write down when you say, would you pray for me? I say, yes. Let me make a note of that. And I write it down because I want to, in a week from now, I'll come back to you and say, hey, I prayed for you. How's that going? And I try to make an, if I don't make an, I may not pray. It's not that I don't want to. It's just that I forget. bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. So he asks them to pray for two things, two areas. Number one, he says, pray that the word would advance, that God's word would advance. In this passage, we see his heart. He wanted the word of God to be advanced and to be glorified. When we pray, we need to pray that God's word would find a home in people's hearts. You know, I put these verses on our prayer card when we were going out as missionaries. And really, it's a good missions prayer request for anybody. But that unreasonable and wicked man, we were going to an area where war had just stopped, and some people thought they were still in war. And, you know, it was very, very touchy at times, and we needed prayer. But, you know, we always need this prayer. The word free course means to speed on or make progress. It's an athletic term, and it means to a swift winning race. Paul wanted the word of the Lord to have free course, free rein, wherever it went. In Acts chapter 19, at Ephesus there, where you remember the word of God was preached, and they brought in all their wicked books and their witchcraft and all of that stuff together, and they burned it. And the Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. That's the idea here. The word of God was going forth. The word of God was making advances. And Paul wanted it to go and be glorified. That word means to be praised, to be honored, to be exalted. You realize not everywhere in this world is this book honored. In our country, this book is not honored as it should be or as it could be. How do we know when the word of God is honored and glorified? Well, when men see a demonstration of the Word of God and its transforming power in the lives of believers, it's being glorified. When your life and my life has been transformed by the Word, and the world sees that, even other Christians, they see that, they're encouraged by that, and the Word of God is glorified. People look at you and say, there's a change in you. What is that? God's Word is being glorified because God's Word is being lived out in your life. And that's what he's saying right here. He wanted the Word of God to be glorified. When it's lived out in people's lives, it brings honor and glory to God. Is the Word of God being glorified and honored and obeyed in your life and mine? You know, it's a good question we do. I trust that you read your Bible every day, that you have a time where God's speaking to you and you're speaking to God. That's important. But is it being glorified? Is it changing your life? If I'm not careful, I mean, I study the Word of God all the time to get messages, and I read the Word of God to try to just feed myself on a regular basis. But if I'm not careful, I'll just read the Bible and then check the square. I don't want to do that. I want to read the Bible and let it transform my life. This morning, Karen and I were reading early, and I read something, and I marked it. And then when we got done with our reading, I went back and I read it again because those verses spoke to my heart, and I want it to be part of me, have free course, and be glorified in my life. And he goes on and says, that last part of verse 1, even as it is with you. You see, the Thessalonians, the Word of God was being glorified in their lives. Over and over again, he said this. Back in chapter 1, First Thessalonians chapter 1, he said this. In verses 6 through 9, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all them that lived in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that you need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had into you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Paul said, when you heard the word of God, you made a change. You turned from idols to the living and true God. The word of God was being glorified in their lives. And they were continuing to grow. That was when he was there. Now he's gone. Now it's a little while later, and the word of God's still growing. And he's encouraging them. He's saying, even as it is with you. So he desired prayer concerning the advancement of the word, but then he desired prayer concerning the protection of the workers. Verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. That's a good prayer request. Paul wanted the Thessalonians to pray for his protection. He was in Corinth at this time, and well, everywhere Paul went, he had problems, right? I mean, if he didn't have problems from the Jews, he had problems from the wicked crowd, whatever. But he was just, he was bringing out a fact here that Christians and Christian leaders face attacks from the enemy. You know, the Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers of darkness. We know that, but we also know that Satan uses flesh and blood to oppose the advancement of his word. He uses flesh and blood people. We're not in battle with people, but people are motivated by the devil. They don't even know that. They don't even know that. The devil fills many people. He prompts many people, tells them what to do, what to say. And the devil's got such a hold on some people that they don't even realize how that they Satan is using them. And so he prays to be delivered. That word means to rescue, to be rescued from danger. When we're living for Jesus, we want Him to rescue. It's okay to pray, but we need to pray for our workers. We need to pray for our missionaries, that they'll be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. The word unreasonable means improper, injurious, or wicked. I saw that word injurious in the definition. I thought, where have I seen that word? Well, turn over a page to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul knew what injurious people were because he was one at one time. Listen to what he says about himself. 1 Timothy 1:12. And I thank God, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So he was injurious. He was wicked. He was one of these unreasonable and wicked men that he's talking about. And now he's getting it coming back to him, you know. And he knows why, but he asked for prayer that he'd be delivered from those kind of people. And all of God's servants, we need that prayer, including me. I pray that you would pray that prayer for me, that God would protect me. You know, we've all got a target on our back. But I believe ministers of the gospel have a bigger target. Our families have a bigger target. And the Lord would love to take us down. But as we pray for our missionaries, or the devil, excuse me, would love to take us down. As we pray for our missionaries, think about that. Think about how that many of them are in restricted countries where the preaching of the gospel is illegal. You know, we've had a touch of you know, meeting when we're not supposed to meet. Just a touch of it. Think about that. But you realize our believers, in some parts of the world, of our missionaries that we support, they're meeting every time they meet, and they're not supposed to meet. I mean, they're in an anti-God government. At least our Constitution, praise God, our Constitution guarantees the right to gather together. Our Constitution guarantees that. Not all countries do that. Many don't, matter of fact. And so we need to praise God for that, but we need to pray for protection to be delivered. And then he uses the word wicked, delivered from unreasonable and wicked. This means malignant or aggressively wicked. You see, prayer, this is why we ask for prayer, because prayer can accomplish what no man can accomplish. When we ask for prayer, we know that Paul was doing something. He was asking them to go to the source of the protector. Pray for protection from the protector. And I quote John Phillips here. He says, Satan is a skilled player on life's chessboard. He knows how to move his men to check the advance of the gospel. But he's no match for the Holy Spirit. Prayer can annul even his formidable advantages. 1 John 4:4 reminds us, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise God for that. Then he reminds that he says on the last part of the verse 2, for all men have not faith. You know, everybody is not our friend. Why? Because all men have not faith. You know, our view, our mind changes when we're saved. Did yours? Were you a friend of the gospel before you were saved? I don't think I was an enemy of the gospel. I grew up in church. I thought I was saved, and that's probably a dangerous place to be, being a church member, thinking you're saved when you're not. But all men have not faith. He reminds them that. And the implication could be that all men, even in that church, didn't have faith. I'm not foolish to know that everybody I preach to every Sunday has faith. I realize that some people may not be saved, really saved. You know, if you've been baptized and you've been in the church all your life and you've never made a life transformation acceptance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're not saved this morning. I mean, everybody on the roll of Bible Fellowship Baptist Church doesn't mean that you're on the roll. Means you're saved. You've got to be washed in the blood of Jesus. All men have not faith. So he prays. He asks for prayer and he reveals the help of God's servant. We help in a big way when we pray for people that are preaching the gospel. Let me ask you a convicting question. I know it's going to convict you because I know how this is. On our prayer list that we have, we've got 45, I think, missionaries and then quite a few support groups. Let me ask you, how many times during your lockdown did you pray on that list? How many times did you pray asking God to let the Word of God go forth in India and that they would be delivered from ungodly and wicked men? Do you realize in India, the Gordons are back in the States right now because they were accused in the village that they lived in that they were the source of COVID-19? They were accused because they were outsiders. They had to leave the country to get a visa stamped like they do every 90 days. And when they came back in, the government said, "You're the source." And they made them stay in the house. And for no reason at all. They just were visited every day by unreasonable and wicked men who have not faith. They need our prayer. And thank God for you that pray for that list. Let me just encourage you to pray over that list. Those people need our prayer. We send money. We send financial support. Praise the Lord for that. We've been faithful to do that, even during the shutdown and lockdown and everything. But we need to pray faithfully for these people. Then he talks about the helper of God's servants. Look at verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. Isn't that good? You know, right in the middle of asking for prayer for himself, he reminds them that God's faithful. He wanted to encourage their heart. And I want to encourage your heart this morning. It encourages my heart to know God is faithful. You know, I'm not always faithful. You're not always faithful, but God's faithful. And when we don't abide faithful, He yet abides faithful. God is in time, on time, all the time. The Lord is faithful. And He says, "Who will establish you and keep you from evil?" Psalm 46 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And He's still our refuge and strength. He's still our refuge today. He's a very present help in trouble. He says He'll establish you. Now, Paul used this word in chapter 2 in praying for them. He says, "I'm going to pray that God would establish you." And here he says, he used it again. The word means to stand fast, to turn resolutely in a certain direction, to establish, to strengthen. So he encourages them with the fact that God is faithful. He's going to establish you so that you won't fall prey to the devil. Then he uses that word keep, and I love that. That he will establish you and keep you from evil. The word keep means to be on guard. God's on guard for you. Isn't that good? Realize how vulnerable you are and your mind is when you sleep. You know, think about that. I mean, you're just vulnerable. I mean, all the time, really. But God keeps us. "He that keepeth Israel," the Bible says, "will neither slumber nor sleep." Praise the Lord for that. God is faithful. He keeps us. He guards us. His omnipresence, that is, God's everywhere at all times. And His omnipotence comes out in this verse. He's able to establish us and to keep us from evil. John Payton was a missionary in the 1800s and the New Hebrides Islands. And he told a story that illustrates the protective care of God in sending His angels. Hostile natives surrounded his mission headquarters one night, intent on burning out the Paytons and killing them. And it was just Mr. Payton and his wife. And they prayed all night that God would deliver them, that God would protect them. And in the morning, they were amazed to see that the attackers mysteriously were gone. They knew they were out there. They prayed all night. A year later, the chief of the tribe was saved. And Mr. Payton asked him, remembering, he says, "What happened that night that kept you from burning our place down?" He says, "It was all those men that were there." And he says, "What are you talking about? We were the only ones here." And he said, "Oh no." He said, the chief said, "There were mighty men standing guard, hundreds of men in shining garments with drawn swords in their hands." He said, "They seemed like to circle the mission, and we were afraid to attack." Only then that Payton realized that God had dispatched His angels and protected him. You know, the Lord does that. Sometimes we don't even know about it, but God promises, and we can trust God that He will establish us and keep us from evil. Then the heeding of God's servants. Look at verse 4. "And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you." Notice Paul's confidence is in the Lord, but he's got confidence in the Lord concerning them. You know, we don't need to put too much confidence in man. Matter of fact, the Bible says over and over again that we should put our confidence in God. Man will let us down. Jesus will never let us down. But here he says we can have confidence not in ourselves, but we can have confidence in God for ourselves and for others. And that's what he's doing. He's giving them a word of encouragement. He says, "I'm confident in the Lord that you're going to do what God has told you to do." And you know, it's a joy for me to preach the Word of God at Bible Fellowship Baptist Church because I know who I'm preaching to. And I know how you love the Word of God. The majority of you love the Word of God. You can't wait to get here to hear the Word of God. You enjoy the Word of God. You're ready to hear the Word of God. And that encourages my heart when I study the Word of God. And I you can't help as a pastor because I'm called to help God's people. And I can't help but think of some of you as I'm preparing the messages and say, "Oh, God, I pray that'll help her like it's supposed to. And that'll help that person, right? And help him with that word, Lord. I think that's for him." And it encourages my heart as a preacher of the gospel to preach to a crowd of people who loves God's word. Thank you for keeping. And I just say, keep at it. Don't let up. Keep loving God's word and keep loving. And I guarantee, I'll make you a promise. When you come to this church, you're going to hear God's word. You're not going to hear opinions. You're not going to hear stories. You hear the word of God. Wearsby said, I read a lot of Warren Wearsby, he said in his three pastorates, he said he realized that God's word would accomplish God's work. He said, "When the sheep are fed, they'll flock together in love, they'll reproduce, they'll follow the shepherd, and they can be fleeced, and they'll love it." He says, "When the sheep are hungry, they start biting each other. They get sick and wandering away. When the word of God does the work, the Lord gets the glory." That's what's been a hard thing with this being out of church, is because lack of accountability. We need one another in the church. We need the accountability of seeing one another and being able to be with one another. Thank God for this, able to come back together. So when it comes to God's Word, we need to take the Word of God and heed the Word of God. Did you get what he says? I have confidence in the Lord touching you that you both do and will do the things which we command you. The word command is a use of a military order passed down from a superior officer. So some of you men, myself, served in the military. You know, when you get an order from an NCO or petty officer above you or an officer, you don't say, "You know, why are you telling me that? I really don't want to do that." No, you don't do that. You just do what you're told to do. I've been told many times when I was in the military, you don't get paid to think. Just do what you're told to do. Yes, sir. You know, but that's not the idea with here. We don't check our brain at the door, so to speak, as a Christian. But we are to obey God's commands. I mean, we're to obey the Lord's commands. And that's what he's saying. He says, "I have confidence in the Lord concerning you that you're going to continue to do what the Lord commands you." And then lastly, he talks about the heading or the direction of God's servants. Verse 5, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the patient waiting for Christ." The Lord would direct them. What direction were they going? What direction are you going this morning? Are you going God's direction? Who is in control of your life this morning? Are you going God's direction? That's what he's saying. I'm praying that God would direct you in the love of God and in the patient waiting of Christ. That's a good prayer request for each other, by the way. You know, pray that God would direct each other towards God's love and towards His patient waiting for His coming. You see, when the love of God directs our heart, we have an urgency in the love of God. We have an urgency to reach the lost. We have compassion on the hurting. We'll be sensitive to the needs of those around us. We'll be ready to share God the resources God gives us. And we'll love others like Jesus loves others. Only when He directs us into the love of Christ. And then I like what he says, into the patient waiting for Christ. Again, another reference to the coming of Christ. And we need to be patient toward that coming. You ever get to the point where you say, is He really going to come? Man, I'm ready, Lord. Come on. Right now. It'd be great right now if You came. And I want Him to come. We want Him to come. But this patient doesn't mean sitting around going, Lord, we're waiting. We're just going to wait till You come. No, that's not what that means. What it means is it means an enduring, a getting under the load and persevering in the cause of Christ, persevering for the cause of Christ, no matter the circumstances, knowing that He could come at any moment. If He came today, would you go or would you be left behind? I think one of the words left behind are some of the scariest words ever. To be left behind. If you're saved, we're going. If not, you'll be left behind. And let me ask this, are you doing all you can to advance the Word of God in your life? And then praying that God's work would go forth into the lives, into this world. I don't think we have much time left. I don't know how much time we have. We've been in the last days for a long time. Been in the last days for 2,000 years. So we've got to be at the last of the last of the last. We've got to be faithful to do what we can while we can. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for our new missionaries. We're going to, Lord willing, take on the ones that were with us in March. We've got the funds to do it, but we want to go forward into this world with the gospel. But don't just support them. Pray for those guys that the Word of God would have free course. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You tonight, today, for this Word. We thank You for the privilege to preach. And we just pray that You would help us to apply these things in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please? Brother Rick's going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you'd like to come and pray, feel free to come. We'll have a few verses of a hymn of invitation. If you need to talk to somebody or pray, have somebody pray with you, we're here to help any way we can. As Brother Rick sings, God's people are praying. Amen. Brother Rick, come lead us in that last song, God Bless America. Can you get it up there real quick? It's on the last one on the list, I believe. We need to sing that. I always throw a curve to these guys. I appreciate their... It never does what you want it to do.
Okay, just run real fast down to the bottom. So you see an American flag. You have to click on that.
There you go.
There it goes.
No other than the power of the cross. See what we missed. Did you ever get the sound going? Did we?
I tried everything I could think of.
We had it going,
but I don't know
early. I don't know.
I don't think we've got anything.
It's way beyond me.
And meet four.
Almost. There you go. All right. Amen. God bless you. Hope to see you tonight at 6 o'clock. Don't forget, ladies, get a box if you didn't get one.